taste and see that the Lord is good. We gather our hearts together for worship. Is good
all the time.
We welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. If you're a visitor with us today, we encourage you to take the time and fill out a visitor card, and you can simply place that in the offering plate today so we can get to know you and you can learn about upcoming opportunities and activities in the life of this church. Speaking of upcoming opportunities and activities, you may have already seen the word or heard the word that tonight our evening activities will be postponed until next Sunday. We just want to be cautious and safe. We do have some business to discuss at the round table. We want to make sure also that we have enough people there to discuss it. So just make that change in your calendar for this coming week. That next Sunday, we'll have our church council at 4 o'clock. We'll have a fellowship meal at 5. And then after the fellowship meal at 5:45, we will have our round table activities. This is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. I still have a little bit of water in my ears from last Sunday. And as promised, I didn't drop anybody, and I brought them all back up. That's what counts. But we do have a lot to say thank you to God for this Sunday. We have a lot of meaning behind that statement, God is good. There's so much going on in the life of our church. You see it in physical ways through baptism, the spiritual renewal that's taking place in so many people's lives, our women who are gearing up to go on a wonderful women's retreat, our men who are rallying next Saturday, getting excited about their relationship to Christ, and we see posters and announcements about that all over town. People are getting ready for that event. We see it in physical ways in our church, as you see new plants popping up, you see paint on walls, a fresh look. It is a season of renewal. And we see that physically, spiritually, mentally, in so many ways. We have something to celebrate and worship today, that God is moving and is alive and well in the life of First Baptist Elon.
Our first scripture reading for today will be Galatians 2, verse 20. I have the law so that I have been crucified with Christ, and I am no longer alive, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave me for me.
As we reflect on Paul's word to the church of Galatia, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. God, our Father, creator of all, in these few moments of worship, we come to you with the words and works, the desires, the hopes, and even the fears that dominate our everyday life. We come to give thanks in all things, to seek new perspective, to find new strength in this day. Jesus Christ, Son of God, help us today to find our hearts burning with a fiery love and devotion to you, so that kneeling at your feet, we hear the tender whisper of your call. Holy Spirit, wind of God, open our minds to learn from Christ, that in listening we might hear, and in hearing we might respond, as he invites us to come and to die and to live. We lift this prayer on this day of worship, on this day of celebration, in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King. Please stand. Thank you. Morning. Mason asked me to come up and introduce the Show Up Stand Up Men's Rally next Saturday. And if I could, I need a little bit of audience participation. First of all, do we have any men in the room? Please raise your hand. And please note, we do grade on a curve, so very good. Does anyone here like great food? Okay.
I do.
Okay, all right. That's right, that's right. Does anyone here enjoy sports stories of constantly finding ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? Jeff Pritchard? Okay, all right, that's good. Does anyone here like supporting our youth? Okay, so based on the hands, I'm sorry. So based on all the hands,
no? Oh, my. All right, let's try this again. Okay, everybody raise your hands. There's a reason for everybody to be here next Saturday night. 5 o'clock, the cook-off starts, the men are cooking, everyone gets to taste and vote. Right now, there's only 7 men signed up to cook for this thing, so I know there's a lot more people that can cook, so we need more people. 6:15, Stories from the Road with professional loser wrestler George South. That is open to all. And finally, at 7 o'clock, we have the men's rally with Giles Blankenship, and that part is a men's only worship. The cards are outside. This is a great opportunity to get people that don't normally get invited to the church to come here. Please get out to the community, friends, coworkers, you name it. Let's try to get a good turnout.
Well, now, while they're coming in, I have to tell y'all this. Jerry signed up to cook, but he just told me I have to cook. So he does not cook. So women, you can enter too, I think. Hello, folks. How are y'all? Are y'all good this morning? Yeah. All right, we're going to play a little game this morning. How many of you like to eat? John was just talking about eating. I do. How many of you like vegetables? French toast, all right. How many of you like fruit? You know, strawberries? Okay. Well, we're going to play a little game. I want you to tell me what I am naming for you, okay? Now, to grow big and strong, we need to eat our vegetables. We need to eat fruit, don't we? Have you heard that from your parents?
Yeah.
You have, Levi? Have y'all heard that, Diamond and Adeline? That to be big and strong. And y'all are too young to know this. You grow really tall. But long, 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 long time ago, there was a cartoon called Popeye, wasn't it called? Where you had to eat the spinach. Popeye, the sailor man, wasn't it? Yeah, y'all too young to know about that. But you got a boo-boo. Oh, I'm so sorry. Do I need to kiss it? You want me to kiss it? All right. All right. All right. Well, we're going to play a game. I'm going to describe something. I want to see if you could tell me what it is. I am green and I'm shaped like a tree. Does anybody have
idea what kind of vegetable that is. Wes, you might have to help him out on this. I'm green and I'm shaped like a tree. What kind of vegetable could that be? All right. Denise, you might have to tell him. Say it, Adam.
Broccoli.
Yay! Ding, ding, ding. All right. Let's try this one. This is a fruit or a berry. I am tiny and I'm round and I'm blue.
Blueberry.
All right. Very good. Ding, ding, ding. All right. This is a vegetable. I'm orange on the bottom, and I have a green top. Anybody? Levi?
French toast. I think
he wants French toast there. Carrots. The carrots.
Carrots.
Carrots. That's right. That's right. All right, let's do another one. This is a fruit. I have a long shape. I'm yellow, and monkeys love to eat me.
Monkeys like to eat me.
What fruit is it?
Bananas.
Bananas. That's right. Very good.
All right, how about this one? Some people think I'm a vegetable, but I'm a fruit. I'm red. I have seeds inside, and they mash me up to make ketchup or spaghetti sauce.
Wes?
Tomato.
Tomato, that's right, tomatoes. Now, where am I going with this? Have no idea, do you? Have no idea. Well, in Luke 24:41, it says, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Jesus appeared to his disciples after his death, and he says, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And the disciples told him, "I have some boiled fish." And Jesus took it and he ate it. And while he was eating it, he says, "I have explained everything to you." And he says, "That I have written and I have fulfilled everything that I told you that was going on." So in order for us to grow up and become strong, we need to eat our vegetables so that we can be healthy. We need to open our minds and let the good news of Jesus bring us and to bring Jesus into us. We are told that God's will help us understand. We need to grow strong by learning what's in the Bible and getting Jesus into our heart. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for these boys and girls. Help us to grow strong, not only by eating our vegetables, but help us to grow strong in our faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank y'all. Our auditory hymn this morning is "I Love to Tell the Story." Let's stand and sing.
reminded of your healing of the 10 lepers. All 10 left rejoicing, but only one came back to thank you, Lord. As I look back, I see I'm often like the 9 rather than the one who returned to show his gratitude. Forgive me, Lord. Real gratitude makes us want to come back to you with praise and worship. And as we bring our offerings this morning, may our hearts be flooded with gratefulness for your love and grace and for taking our place on the cross. And for this opportunity to thank you, I would add that we thank you for the spiritual feeding of our souls in this place. Amen.
You to hear again the words of Scripture from 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed, but we do know it is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. We are not like Him yet. In fact, in so many ways, we are far from being anything like Him, for we have all sinned and continue to sin. For that reason, at this part in our service, we pause in silence to give you an opportunity to allow the Lord to search your heart and your mind and to reveal any wicked way that might be in you, to reveal to you the ways that you are not like Him yet. And would you take that time to confess it and receive His grace and mercy? Let us pray together. O Lord, your word says that we are your children. And like all good children, we have much to learn. And you have much to teach. Forgive us, Lord, when we do not listen to the lessons of your word. When we close our eyes to the needs and the hurt around us. When we fail to go and be the feet and hands of Jesus. Forgive us when we fail to be Jesus with flesh on, the face of Christ to a world of hurt and pain and hopelessness. Oh Lord, forgive us, your children, when we deny you, when we present ourselves in false ways to the world, maybe because of fear or persecution or because we don't want to seem odd, we downplay you as our Father. Forgive us, Lord, your children, when we do not behave. We are never too old to misbehave and to miss the point of a life lived in relationship with you. Forgive us, Lord, when we are not in that relationship, when we allow moments to go by without talking to you, without prayer, without thinking of you, without sitting in your presence. Lord, no doubt there are some of us in this room who, for whom it's been a long time since we ever sat down and just prayed or listened to your Spirit. But you are the God of hope in the face of hopelessness. You are the God of mercy and love. You're the God of grace. And so, Lord, we stand not on our own two feet as your children, but it is by your grace that we are your children, and it is by your grace we are forgiven. As saved people, Lord, help us to be changed and transformed by this worship today, so that we might go out into the world bringing reality, love, hope, mercy, and all the things that are true to a place that so desperately needs it. In the name of Jesus, the Christ, amen.
Forever.
Lord, speak to our hearts and minds this morning. Help us to be clear-thinking people. We might know the truth when it is presented to us, but also, God, that we might let that truth shape us as we continue on our journey following you. In his name we pray. Amen. We have heard quite a bit this morning about belonging and about being children who belong to a living God. But let's switch directions a bit this morning and, in the words of Monty Python, now for something completely different. Do you believe in ghosts? See some no's, some yes. Some of you have the what I call the thermometer in the mouth look. This is the look when you say something really deep or troubling. People go, like they have a thermometer sticking out. Do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever seen one? Do you ever watch those stories about unsolved mysteries and things that go bump in the night? I can say that I'm a pretty rationally minded person. I don't believe in ghosts, but I have tried to convince other people of their existence from time to time. One of the great hallmarks of my childhood in Boy Scouts was to tell the first year campers the scariest ghost stories we could imagine, and then try to create some atmosphere as though this story was becoming true. Sometimes it's as simple as bending a spoon in the shape of a hook, and at the climax of the story, raising the hook dramatically and watching the fear and trembling unfold. Sometimes it got quite elaborate, like there's a place in Columbus County where I'm from called Heartbeat Bridge. You can just imagine the story behind that. And the story goes that you park your car on Heartbeat Bridge, and if you turn off the engine and listen, you'll hear dum-dum, 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 the heart of someone who was murdered in that spot. And so, of course, when we went on a camping trip just a few kilometers away from that location, we had to take those little campers to Heartbeat Bridge, where, unbeknownst to them, one scout was hiding underneath the bridge with an oil can and another in the woods with a sheet who literally came running towards the kid saying, boogity, 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 boogity. That was the best ghost he could come up with. Boogity, boogity, boogity. This ain't the racetrack, brother. But I have seen things and experienced things, too, that are not as easily explainable. I've told some of you in Praise and Prayer the story of being a missionary in Charleston and having a very particularly hard day and a hard night. We were doing performance ministry in downtown Charleston, South Carolina, and people were causing trouble for us. The police had been called because of noise violations, all sorts of discouraging things, and no one was responding. And as we always do, we circled up for prayer at the end of the night and held hands. And this sweet lady from said she was just from down the neighborhood, wanted to come and pray with us and pray for us and encourage us. And we all held hands together and we closed our eyes and we went around the circle praying. And she prayed just this delicate, luscious prayer of encouragement and hope. And we just could feel our spirits rising as she prayed. And when the final person in the circle offered their prayer, we said amen and all opened our eyes, and she was gone. Was it a ghost? Probably not. Maybe an angel. I'd believe that. But who was it and where was she? Maybe she was just some sweet old lady with ninja-like reflexes who was able to slip in and out without us even realizing she'd gone. My wife and I, we lived in a house in Chadburn, North Carolina. My very first pastorate was just a 25-member congregation in Braswell, just outside of Chadburn. And we lived in an old farmhouse built in 1900. And we had weird things in that house. Was it haunted? If you ask my wife, she might say yes. If you ask me, I'd say, no, I think it was a possum. Or a cat, or a raccoon, or something. Things would be out of place. Toys would be moved. Cabinets would be opened or shut. And one day, she claims that she heard the sound of a child saying, Mommy. And, you know, cats can sound a lot like children. Was it haunted? Was it a ghost? I have a feeling that so much in life can be explained clearly and rationally, and there's always some reason for things, but there are those people who will put their hand on their heart and raise their hand and swear by all that they believe in that they have seen a ghost. We had a lady in one of my churches in Elizabeth City who lived on a farm out on the edge of a place where a Civil War battle, skirmish, not battle, had taken place. And she swears that on certain nights at dusk, when the light is fading away, she has seen, staggering off into the woods, soldiers who look like they're wounded. Now, maybe she just has an active imagination. Maybe she's seeing things. Maybe she has some neighbors who are like me and are playing tricks on her. But the point is that throughout history, from the beginning of oral and written history, people have believed in things that go bump in the night. People have believed in ghosts. And even in our own New Testament, we see multiple times where the disciples thought that Jesus was a ghost, both after his resurrection, but even before. No doubt Jesus was special. Perhaps he had some otherworldly aura about him, whether that was visible or something that intuitively they could sense. But I am sure that you see Jesus walking on the water in the middle of the night. It's not so foolish to say, oh, a ghost. But it was not a ghost, it was Jesus. Now, Jesus has been crucified in Luke's gospel. He's dead, he's gone. And dead folks don't come back to life. The disciples are more readily able to believe in a ghost than in some kind of physical presence of Jesus in their midst. That's not possible. And yet, as we come and encounter the story, Jesus has appeared to women. He's appeared to disciples on the Emmaus Road. And now we come to Luke 24, and he appears to them behind closed doors. And they think, it is a ghost. But the gospel writers go to extreme measures to explain to us that no, this is not the ghost of Jesus. This is not the apparition of his otherworldly spirit, but this is a man in a room with his disciples who's hungry and is eating fish. Why? Why go through such trouble? It says in verse 36, while they were talking about this, in other words, talking about that Emmaus Road experience that some of the disciples had encountered him, and they were telling the story, they were in a testimonial state of sharing the gospel, the good news, he's alive, that in that moment of gospel proclamation, none other than Jesus shows up. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Have you ever listened to someone talk about Jesus in such a powerful and dynamic way that it is as though Jesus is showing up there in that very moment? That's a powerful experience. I would that you would have such an experience in your life, because it is life-changing, and it is not something that needs to be a rarity, but should be the norm. That when we talk about Jesus with one another, we should be aware of the fact that he is there with us in the room. He says, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. What kind of apparition is this? I have these images of Charles Dickens in The Christmas Carol and Bob Marley with the chains around him, but surely Jesus did not look like that. He looked like himself. And yet they wonder if he's a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your heart. Think about that line. He says, number one, you shouldn't be afraid of me. It's me, Jesus, your teacher, your rabbi. But secondly, why is it easier for you to think that I'm just a ghost than to accept the reality of what I was proclaiming to you the whole time through, that I would be crucified, that I would be buried, but on the third day, I would rise. Flesh and blood, rise. They're still wrestling with their doubts. Verse 39, he says, look at my hands and my feet. See, it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. I remember when I was a kid and I was watching Star Wars. Any Star Wars fans? A few. You're familiar with the story. This is no spoiler for you, but you know that at some point, Obi-Wan Kenobi is killed and becomes a Jedi ghost. I thought, how cool is that? How awesome would that be to have your own personal ghost who, in the moments of great difficulty, could whisper into your mind, Luke, use the Force. But as I've grown older, I've become kind of aware of just how useless that would be. How useless is a ghost? He can't touch anything. He can't move anything. He can't interact with anything. Jesus is no Jedi ghost, but a flesh and blood man in their presence who could shake things, who could touch things, who could move things, who could turn heads physically if he wished. And he says, here I am. It is I myself. Touch me and see. Did it ever occur to you that Jesus is saying very much the same thing to you today? He's not just saying, look at me. He's not simply saying, listen to me. He's certainly not just saying, read about me. He's saying, touch me. Put your hands on me. Interact with me. He says in verse 41, while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering. I find a lot of grace in that detail, by the way. Do you ever have struggles and doubts? Do you ever wrestle with questions about faith and about the resurrection of Jesus? Do you ever have your moments where things don't seem to always add up and you wonder? Maybe it's in the very most intimate, private moments of the night when you're laying there and all the lights are off and no one knows what you're thinking but you and the Lord. I find grace in this because these cats were with the man and were still wondering and doubting. Jesus doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't browbeat them. He doesn't storm off in a fit and said, fine then, if you don't believe me, fine. No, he stays with them, and he continues to be present. It says, he says, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Such patience. Such care to show them how real he is. Such love to want to make the extra effort to help them in their disbelief and in their wondering. And only then, when they have seen him and touched him and eaten with him and fellowship with him, then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer, to rise from the dead on the third day, And that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The moment that they slip from doubts and fears and superstitions into a real engagement with Jesus is the very moment that he opens their minds and teaches them the truth. That when we are in relationship with Jesus in a real way, it is only then that we can understand him. It is only through that real relationship that he can transform our lives. But if you were to be a fly on the walls of the mind of the average churchgoer today, you would find their concept of Jesus is not one in which he is real and present, but more that he's just a character in an old story. He's the moral example. He's that ideal of hope and love. He is a symbol of peace, and he is that image and role model for us to live up to. But for very few people is he something real and present. Do you believe in Jesus? Most people will say yes. But what do they mean by believe in? They believe he lived, they believe he died, they believe he's in heaven, but they don't necessarily believe he's sitting right there with them. Stories like these from the Gospels remind us that it is only when Jesus is sitting right there with us that we are truly disciples. It is only when we are in a relationship with him that is real and personal that we are growing. That he is not just an ideal, but he is substance and substantial. He is flesh and blood. He is living. Jesus is solid. And if you are not experiencing Jesus in a real and personal way in your life, then you do not know this Jesus. If he is to you but a character in the gospel stories, you do not know Jesus. Consider that this week as you pray and as you seek and as you go on your journey. Maybe you will turn your head to the side and notice that he's walking with you. Would you pray with me? You are the God who walks with us on the way. You are the God who takes our hand and leads us. You're the God who pushes us in the right direction, and when we need it, you give us the swift kick. Help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear your truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We invite you to respond to the Jesus who is with us in this place as we sing our hymn of response, that old and favorite hymn, He Lives, number 533. If you're able, please stand. you receive this blessing as we go. In the good moments and in the difficult times of this week to come, may you see Jesus and may you get your hands on some Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.